in this familiar story of Jesus Christ. But Luke 5:17, and it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching Jesus, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and they let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto them, "Man, thy sins are forgiven thee." And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" That's a good question they're asking. But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said unto them, "What reason ye in your hearts, whether it is easier to say, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Rise up and walk'? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins," he said unto the sick of the palsy, "I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go into thine house." And immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereupon he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, "We have seen strange things today." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you so much for your word today, Lord, and I pray that you would help me to be able to preach today. Lord, fill me with the unction of the Holy Spirit. Lord, open up our ears and our hearts to what you have today. And Lord, I pray that your word would speak to us, Lord, and that your Holy Spirit would help us today to learn and to draw us closer to you. And if any are lost today, any are backslidden, any are confused, Lord, I pray that they would find assurance of salvation today in Jesus Christ. And in his name we pray. Amen. So this story is earlier in Jesus' ministry. And remember, one of the early things that happened to Jesus, he went to his hometown synagogue in Nazareth, and he was rejected there when he preached, showing that he was the fulfillment of the prophecy of the Messiah, and they tried to throw him over a cliff. Remember that story? And then he comes to Capernaum, and Capernaum is where he spends a lot of time, you'll see in the Gospels, and he goes to their synagogue, and instead of wanting to throw him over a cliff, they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. So right after that, a little bit later, he's at Peter's house, and Peter's mother-in-law was sick, and Jesus healed her. And then that evening, something happened. Everyone in the town of Capernaum, it says all the city came to the door, and Jesus healed all that were sick. So it didn't matter what disease, what sickness, what level of unclean spirit or possession, whatever you want to call it, everyone across the city that needed healing came to the door that night to Peter's house, and Jesus healed them all. Aren't you glad that he can heal any problem? He can take care of any possession, any evil spirit, anything. Jesus healed them all. But that's an important thing to remember. So remember, he's healed all in Capernaum. That's what the Bible says. So now as we're going, he is teaching in this house, in the passage that we're in, probably still in Peter's house. And he's teaching there because of the story right before this one. So right above these verses in Scripture, Jesus heals a leper. And he touches him. And one of the things I love about it is in the law, if you touched a leper, you would become unclean. Right? You would become ceremonially unclean. You couldn't go into the synagogue. You couldn't take part in things. But aren't you glad when Jesus touched the leper, it didn't make Jesus unclean. He made the leper clean. Aren't you glad that our sins didn't make Jesus a sinner? We didn't defile him. I'm glad when he touched us, he healed us of our sins. Amen. Praise God. But we have that story, and leprosy, real quick, in the Bible is always a picture of sin. In those days, it was a death sentence, and it isolated people because of it. Because there was no cure, they stayed apart. They had to yell unclean if someone came near them. And what it would do is it would destroy the body from the inside out. What it did, one of the problems is it made the nerves stop working. So your fingers and things would become numb. And you know what happens when you injure a body part? What happens? Pain, right? You know what that pain does? It tells you there's a problem. Get your hand off the stove. It tells you, you know, you need to take care of the bleeding, take care of the infection, everything else, or, you know, infection will set in. And if that pain isn't there, you might not even realize something's broken or damaged or hurting. And then you know what happens? That's why they would lose limbs and fingers, because they wouldn't even realize it. And isn't sin just like that? Doesn't sin take over a person from the inside out? You know, at first we can hide certain things, but then it starts to manifest itself. Yeah. And you know what else sin does? After a long enough time, it starts to numb us, doesn't it? That's what it does. You continue in sin. You see these people in the world, things that would have disgusted them years prior, now they're okay with it, right? They're numb to it in their mind. So we see leprosy, that invisible disease that deforms, is just like a picture of sin. But you know, there's something strange in the Bible. When it talks about leprosy in the law, in Leviticus 14, I believe, and it describes it and everything else, remember, there was no cure for it in the Bible. But the law had a ceremony that you would go through if you were healed of leprosy. It seems kind of silly, doesn't it? Why would you need a ceremony for something that was never going to happen? I never can find in the Bible where they ever used that ceremony, where they ever went through it before. And what you would take is it took two birds, a piece of cedar wood, some scarlet. You took these things together and hyssop. And each of these things, what you would do is you'd have two birds. You would kill one bird, and then water would flow over it. And the blood and the water you would apply to the other bird, and then you would set it free. Okay? So are you still with me? So you've got one bird has to die to cleanse the other bird, right? Doesn't that look like a picture of something? Jesus Christ hung on a cross, remember the cedar wood and the scarlet. And what happened? As soon as he died, the Roman soldiers who had broken the legs of the one thief and broken the legs of the other to speed up their death, they were amazed that Jesus was already dead. And what did they do? They didn't break his legs. They jabbed that spear in his side, and what came out? Blood and water. Jesus Christ died, and his blood is what came across us when we asked for forgiveness of sins. Why? So that we could find healing. The one bird had to die, and you know what they did with the other bird once they applied it? They set that bird free. Oh, what a beautiful picture. That day, you think about the day that you asked Jesus Christ into your heart. The blood was applied. Yeah. The chains of sin were broken. Amen. And we were set free in a new life. Yeah. But they never did that ceremony. Why? Because nobody ever was cleansed from leprosy. The only one you can find is, remember, Naaman the Syrian, I believe. I might get that wrong. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. But he was not a Jew. And remember, he had to dip in the water several times. And he at first didn't want to do it, but then he does it. He didn't have to go through that Jewish ceremony. So these priests would have learned this. They would have passed it down. They would have understood this is what needed to have happened, but never did it. But then Jesus cleanses that leper right before this. Uh-huh. What's he tell that leper? Go show yourself to the priest and go through that ceremony that's been waiting all those years. Yeah. You know what the problem was? The leper didn't do it. What did he do? He blazed it abroad, the Bible says. He published it, went out and published it much. He just told everybody what Jesus did. Now, we think that's a great thing, and it is something we need to do. We need to share what Jesus Christ has done in our life. But Jesus wanted him to go to the priest. Why? So that priest who had had that ceremony sitting on the shelf forever would pull it out and realize, hey, wait a second. We're killing the one bird. We've got the live bird. We're spreading the blood. Now, who'd you say cured you again? Jesus? And maybe those things wouldn't click right at once, but I guarantee if that priest went through it and then later on heard about Jesus on the cross, I guarantee he could have put some things together with God's help, and he would have seen. See, Jesus wanted a witness. That leper being healed would have been a witness to the priest. You know, Jesus is not willing that any should perish.
Right.
He wanted those Jewish people, those religious leaders, he wanted them to come to him and come to the truth.
That's right.
He sent the leper. Mm-hmm. But that leper published it. And you know what happened? He couldn't go out publicly without crowds and everything else. So that's why he's in the house. Right? That's why he's teaching inside the house. And yet the house is still packed full. And in verse 17, we see there's Pharisees there. There's doctors of the law there. And notice something. They have traveled. Now, some come from Galilee, the surrounding towns. But also some have come from Judea and Jerusalem. There are people that traveled a long way to hear Jesus Christ preach and teach that day in the house. Now, you think about it. These religious leaders, especially the Pharisees, John the Baptist had already called them a generation of vipers. And he told them in Matthew 3:8 to bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance. John the Baptist had already told those religious leaders, you got to repent and turn to Jesus. In fact, Jesus, remember in John chapter 3, he talked with that Jewish leader Nicodemus. And in 3:7, he said, marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Yeah. Jesus was trying to reach them over and over again. They needed to change. And there's a group that came to the house that day were willing to travel so far to hear Jesus preach and teach. Let me tell you something. If you want to know the truth today, if you really open your heart and want to know the truth about Jesus Christ, he will tell you the truth. He will come. You want to find truth in him, he will open himself up to you. And that's what he did that day. But they would have had to have made a choice as they're there, whether they were going to accept Jesus' teaching or reject it. So the big part of this story that many times when I've heard it preached and taught is the man, you know, being lowered into the roof, right? There, Jesus is preaching and teaching. You know, we've heard this story many times. And as he's preaching, the roof starts to open up. You can imagine things start to fall. And then all of a sudden that man is lowered into the bed, right into the middle, interrupting everything. Can you imagine if it happened here? I mean, it'd be a huge interruption. But Jesus, instead of, a lot of people were focusing on the man, right? The man being lowered. That's not who Jesus was focusing on. Do you see what it says? Verse 19. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop, let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. Look at verse 20. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, man, thy sins be forgiven thee. Jesus didn't see his faith. He saw the faith of the four that were lowering him down. He saw their faith, and he said to him, your sins be forgiven you.
Yep.
That blesses me today, doesn't you? Jesus saw the faith of those men that would have stopped at nothing to get their friend in front of Jesus. And a lot of times that's what you hear about is, you know, they would have, it would have been easier to go through the door, but it was packed. So they went into the roof and lowered him down. And that is a big instance of faith. But remember what I said, all were healed in Capernaum, right? Don't forget that. So this man did not live in Capernaum. They carried him from another town to this town, got all the way to the house, realized that the house was full. They couldn't get him in. There were so many opportunities, I believe, where they could have given up. But instead, they said, you know what? I don't care how we do it. We're going to get our friend to Jesus Christ. Amen. You know what? That's what we need to do. Yeah. Aren't you glad people didn't give up on you and I? Aren't you glad that people didn't stop praying, even though it seemed like all hope was gone? But we need to continue and say, you know what? I don't care how bad it looks. I don't care how mad they get. I don't care how discouraging it is. We need to continue to lift them up and bring them before Jesus. Amen. Because who knows if this is the time.
That's right?
Mm-hmm. Praise God. I'm glad people didn't give up on us so easily. But they continued on. And then, you know, there's that back and forth of whether, you know, they're questioning whether he can forgive sins. And of course he can, because he's God. And that's what they were struggling with. So then he heals the man to show that he is God and to prove that he can forgive sins. But you know what? The big thing, there was two things that caught me in this passage when I was looking at it again. And one of the things came from the very last verse of the passage here, verse 26. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear. Now that didn't surprise me, but this part, saying, we have seen strange things today. We've seen strange things today. Isn't that a strange thing to put there? Isn't that a strange part of the end of the verse? They were all moved by the miracle, right? They were all moved because of what happened right in front of them. A man being lowered in front, Jesus claiming to forgive sin, the miraculous healing, all of those were strange things that happened. Wouldn't you agree? None of that was normal. It would be weird if someone was lowered to the roof. And you know what? Maybe this is the first time you've been to our church, or maybe you haven't been in a while, or whatever the scenario, or maybe we did something different today that we don't normally do, and you could think the same thing. Isn't that strange that someone would get up and testify? Isn't that strange that someone would raise their hand? Isn't that a strange thing that people would be so excited about coming into God's house on a Sunday morning? Those are strange things.
Amen.
We've seen strange things, haven't we?
Yeah.
You know, why it seems strange is because the world can't duplicate it.
That's right.
And maybe you're feeling the power of God and that tug of God talking to you, and that seems strange to you.
Thank you, Lord.
But really, the question is, what would you do with Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Because that was the problem. What are you going to do with Jesus? He's preaching and teaching and showing them that He is the Lord. He is God. He's the Messiah. So the question is, would they put their faith in them? And Jesus today, that day, or would just admire that, wow, He's different than everyone else, and then leave still lost in their sins, still lost in their false religion and everything else, or still leave here trying to find satisfaction in the world, or will you find healing with Jesus Christ? You realize He can save your soul today. He can restore the backslider. He can do all of these things. It was strange. And they said before, it was strange that an uneducated carpenter would speak like no other man has spoken, right? That was strange. Jesus himself, that was a strange thing. You know what I think about? January 25th, 2017. Date might not mean a lot to you, but we had a prayer service here one night on a Wednesday night, and the Lord had dealt with me all day long, and I was fighting Him all day.
Bless you.
And He said, Mike, I want you to turn the service upside down. I want you to, instead of coming in and starting with the hymns and starting with fellowship and then going to prayer and then going to testimonies and then going to preaching like we always do, He said, I want you to preach first. Right at the beginning, preach first. I preached a message on prayer, and then right after that, we opened up the altar. And then after that, we had a circle prayer up here. And the other strange thing that we did was we went there. I don't remember how many were here. I don't know, about 15, 20 were here. We got into a circle up here, and we went one by one. Remember that night?
Yeah.
And we asked, what is it? You know, we pray for other people a lot, but you know what? What do you need tonight? Remember that? And we went one by one. Whew. I just thinking about it just gets me excited. But we would go one by one around the list. It gets to Brooke and I. I don't remember if we started it or ended it. We're in the middle. It doesn't matter. But we shared that we'd been struggling, right? We'd been struggling. We couldn't, trying to have a child for several years. And we were just tore up about it. And we love the Lord. And we want to continue to serve the Lord. But it was something that was bothering us. Something that was hurting. Something that that was a dear prayer and a desire in our hearts. We went around and we prayed that night. And I'll tell you what, it was 2 months later we found out we were pregnant with Harper. And you could say, if you went to that prayer service, you could say, well, strange things happened there that night. But then I'll tell you, someone, somehow we got a hold of heaven and He changed everything that night. And when there's strange things that happen, maybe people weeping and coming up to the altar to pray or raising their hands and shouting and all the other strange things, it's because of Jesus Christ doing things in our life. It's because we have an eternal hope. We were alive today. We've got God within us. We do have something to shout about. I tell you what, last night they were shouting at the football game. I tell you what, I'm shouting here today because God is good to us today. You see the difference? You know, sometimes when people are sick and they're here and they ask, we'll come up to the front of the church, we'll get the oil out.
Yeah.
will anoint their head with oil. Not because we came up with that, because the book of James tells us, if there's any sick among you, call upon the elders of the church and anoint their head with oil, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. So we just follow what Jesus tells us to do. Right. It seems really strange to do that.
Yeah.
Oh, but it doesn't seem strange to those ones that have been anointed and that God's raised them up and healed them and forgiven them and done all these things. I tell you what, I've seen a lot of people out here we've anointed over the years, and it seems strange, but I'll tell you what, it excites me when we do it, because I know we're just following what God told us to do.
Yes.
Not everyone thought it was strange that day with the man being lowered in the bed, because the four said, we're getting him to Jesus.
Yes,
it doesn't matter what happens. And guess what? While there was a group saying strange things had happened, there was four men were rejoicing. And guess what they did? They didn't have to carry him back home.
Right.
All five of them walked home together, rejoicing and excited, and said, we found Jesus. He touched him, and everything is wonderful. I'll tell you what, you come to Jesus, you can leave rejoicing too.
That's right.
What a blessing.
Yes.
So that's one of the things that I found is you can come in here and say, well, that's strange, that's different, that's weird. Or you can just realize it's the power of God.
Yes. Thank you, Lord. Yeah.
Right.
And you can tap into it.
Yes.
And he can touch you today. And he can help you today.
Yeah.
Right? That's the difference right there.
Yeah.
So many of them said, we've seen strange things, and they walked out still in their false religion.
That's right.
But the other thing that hit me, it's funny, the things that hit me, one was from the last verse of the passage. The other thing that hit me was from the first verse, going back to verse 17. And it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judah and Jerusalem. See, that's normal. But look at the very end. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. That's what really hit me when I was reading this passage. That was the first one that stopped me in my tracks. And I was thinking, you know, if we're just talking about healing, Jesus had already demonstrated that he could heal everything that night in Capernaum outside Peter's house. He'd already touched every manner of sickness and disease. He had done all these things. He touched the man on the bed. He raised him up. He could heal any spiritual sickness. All it took was just to put their faith in Jesus Christ. But you know what? I kept looking at that and I thought, you know what? There's a word in there that's sticking out. See, he says that in the house were Pharisees, doctors of the law, many traveled from far and near to hear him. The power of the Lord was present to heal them.
Mm-hmm.
You see that? It doesn't say was present to heal him. It said the power of the Lord was present to heal them.
Yeah.
Everybody in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, you know what he's really talking about when he says them? The power of the Lord was present to heal the Pharisees and the doctors of the law sitting by.
That's right.
It was there.
Yes. Yeah.
The power was there. Right? Remember what I told you. See, with the leper, what did he want? He wanted that leper to go to the priest, go through the ceremony with the killing the bird, the blood and the water, the live bird being set free with the cedar and the scarlet and everything else. He wanted that picture so that it would hit the priest, that they would see that Messiah was there. But when the leper disobeyed and didn't do that, he published it abroad. But really, Jesus wanted him to go to the priest first before he published it abroad. But since he didn't do that, see, now you've got religious leaders again. And what's Jesus doing? He still wants to reach them.
Yeah.
Right? And he had the power to heal every single one in that room.
Yes.
He had the power. It wasn't physical sicknesses. He had the power to heal spiritual sickness.
Yes. Yes.
Guess what? That same power is present in this house today.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
That same, he has the power of the Lord was present to heal them, and it's present today.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the question. Are you going to doubt it? That's what they did. They doubted. They questioned. Now, you can ask God questions, but they left saying, well, that's strange.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And see, you could do the same thing. You can doubt, and you can leave and say that's strange, and you could get nothing. Or the faith, remember what happened? The faith of the four saved the sick. He got his sins forgiven, and they got more than what they came for. Right?
Amen.
They brought him so that Jesus would heal his body. Jesus saved his soul first,
Amen.
Then healed his body.
That's right.
They got more than they wanted. Right? More than they came for. I'm telling you what, you come to Jesus Christ by faith today, he will give you more than you expect, more than you could ever imagine. He will bless you beyond measure and give you a life you thought you were living. He will give you a new life. He'll fill you with joy and peace and everything else, and you'll live a life that's unlike anything else. But the choice is yours. Jesus is in the midst today.
Right.
So the Bible says two or three are gathered. We've got
right.
plenty here. He's in the midst. He's near. He has the power to heal. He has the power to save.
Amen.
But how are you going to leave? How are you going to, what are you going to do with Jesus before you walk out of here?
Yeah.
I'm going to ask everyone to stand today. How are you going to leave?